When it comes to sports, what do you value? Is it the final score at the end of the game? Is it money, fame, recognition? Or is it more about what you learn through the process? In this Words of Steel podcast, we'll take a deep dive into the world of sports to explore the values, motivations, and societal impact behind the games we love. Together, we'll seek to understand the true essence of sports and the invaluable life lessons that sports can bring. Subscribe now and let's embark on this enlightening adventure together. Good evening, friends, and welcome to another episode of Words of Steel. I'm Tom Steele, and it's nice to be with you again. If you've been following along, we've spent the last couple of episodes talking about telling the truth, perhaps how rare that is, but also leaning into the idea that sometimes it's difficult to tell the truth, depending on the context or the circumstances and the implications. I wanted to discuss perhaps a little bit of a different topic tonight. And I say tonight because it's about 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and I'm recording in my home. So for people my age, it will be bedtime in about 2 hours. But I was attending a local church on Palm Sunday, and the pastor said something that has stuck with me a little bit in a very good way. But she said, "Humility is not mousy. Humility is a lion." Now, I'm not gifted enough, and my memory's not good enough to give you the whole context of the message that was preached that Sunday, but I've been discussing that particular idea with my wife off and on since that time. And what kind of strikes me when I think about that is that when we contemplate the idea that humility is not mousy, to me it means that humility is not an act of timidity or some type of feeling that we have based on fear. Rather, being humble in a given circumstance may be a tremendous act of courage, may take great restraint even. When we say that humility is a lion, we're not saying that we are roaring loud and proud about our humility, because that wouldn't be very humble to do that. But I think that the message which was being conveyed says that humility really does take great strength and perhaps is an act showing dignity and respect for a situation or another person. So my wife, who's pretty smart and spiritually gifted, gives me this Hebrew word anava, which is spelled A-N-A-V-A-H, and it's got the little accent marks in various places. But it's basically the Hebrew word for humility. And what it basically means is that we are to occupy our God-given space in this world. We're not to overestimate our ability or giftedness, because that certainly wouldn't be humble. But on the other hand, we don't want to underestimate what our giftedness would be either, or maybe we don't want to underestimate the impact that we may be having if we are following our assignment. Maybe not everyone is the CEO of a large corporation or a famous athlete or the pastor of a large church, but maybe the impact you're having on the audience you do reach is significant for the kingdom. We don't all have to write a book, but maybe we can make a phone call or send a text that would change somebody's life. I believe that this is the 9th podcast which we have recorded, and it's been a lot of fun for me, and I hope it's been some fun for you. And we've spent time talking about ego, all the money that's involved in sports, having things out of priority, faking, flopping, not telling the truth, the new body ache league, the NBA, where the players only play if they feel like it. But there is so much good that can come out of participating in sports. at all levels, the youth level, but even all the way up into the pros. And humility is hopefully one of those characteristics that we can discover and develop as we participate in our sports journey. As we move a little deeper into spring sports, I'm involved in baseball as the public address announcer for West Virginia University Baseball, and I'm really enjoying that. And I have to confess and disclose that I'm part of the money-making machine in sports now as a public address announcer, and I'm making $15 an hour doing that job, and I'm so pleased and happy to do it. It's been a lot of fun. But I really got my start announcing with an organization called Challenger Baseball, which locally is run by an angelic couple for about the last 20 years. And it's a baseball league that gives kids with special needs the opportunity to play baseball, to meet other kids, other buddies, coaches, and to just have an opportunity to develop meaningful relationships with other people and play ball. And the play is set up in such a way so as to accommodate the needs of the various players. For instance, we may have a player who's blind and we'll use a larger ball that beeps, and that player will be pitched that ball and he will eventually hit that ball and run to first base with the assistance of his buddy. And there are all ages of children who play, and they have different giftedness. And some kids are pitched to, some kids hit the ball off of a tee, some kids are in wheelchairs. But all the kids and their families and the buddies who help these children and the coaches and the league organizers are smiling. It's just a tremendous time, and it comes around every April and May, and I think this is going to be my 17th or 18th year that I get the privilege of being an announcer in this league. I've had so many great experiences and been blessed so many times through Challenger Baseball that it would just not be possible to tell all the stories and to recount all the various people who have impacted me. But there is one memory for me which just kind of sets the standard of what I think sports and athletics should be about. Some of these kids with the Challenger League have deteriorating health. And as the years go by, they face maybe a few more obstacles as they continue to participate in playing baseball. It's been more than a few years now, but this young boy who had some physical issues in the past now came out for the first game of the year, and he was in a wheelchair. And so his buddy, who is usually a middle school or maybe a high school kid, wheels this boy to home plate, at which point a tee was set up and a ball placed on top of it so that this young man could hit the ball. So he hits the ball. I think he hits it towards the shortstop or something like that. And he's telling his buddy, I'm up in the press box, I'm maybe 50 feet away, so I can hear and see what's going on. His buddy wants to push him to first base in the wheelchair, but this young boy, the batter who's just hit this ball, does not want any part of that. He wants to get out of his wheelchair and run to first base. So his buddy and a couple of other kids help this young man out of his wheelchair. He's got braces on both legs. They move the wheelchair out of the way. And just to give you some idea, first base is probably 60 feet away. It's set up like a little league field. So as this young man tries to make his way to first base, everybody is cheering and encouraging him, but he's struggling mightily, will not let anybody touch him or help him or assist him in any way. He's going to make it to first base. So then things started to get kind of quiet because this boy's maybe gone 10 or 12 feet, and it's taken him a little more than a minute to do that. He's having a tremendous struggle. He's not going to let anybody help him. And normally when these kids bat, I announce their names and maybe say he's hit a single to left field. And when they arrived at first base, I may say, you know, he's safely at first with a single or whatever it is. And I'm not saying anything from the press box. There's no noise. And we watch for another 4 or 5 minutes while this kid works his way down the first baseline until he reaches first base where that wheelchair and his buddy are waiting for him. That particular event inspired me in a way that I obviously have never forgotten. It also ruined me in a good way, maybe, in the sense that my tolerance for low effort and poor behavior has diminished, although we'll work on that. Anyway, that story with that young man and just the blessing that I have in being able to participate in the Challenger League are very humbling. And there's such a purity in watching those kids play and have a good time that I hope exists elsewhere in the world of sports and in our society. But perhaps that purity is diminishing as well. Maybe I can switch to a little lighter story. I've mentioned in earlier podcasts that I've had the privilege of coaching kids at various times in my life in various sports, but particularly basketball. And this has probably been 15 years ago or so, but I was the freshman basketball coach at a local high school. And I really enjoyed that. And as you might imagine, it's very interesting to coach basically 15-year-old boys who are the youngest kids in the high school. And while not all of them are the least physically developed in the school, they are, by and large, the least emotionally developed kids in the school. So we had just finished a home game, and we were not a very good team. And in this particular game, I think we had lost by about 35 points. And as we went into the locker room, it was one of those times that we've discussed on this podcast when truth-telling wasn't going to be the best idea. So I opted to be encouraging, mixed with a little bit of truth, rather than making an expression of a bunch of truth. So I think I said something like that we weren't going to assess the game or get into the nuts and bolts of the game. We'd work on that in practice the next day. But I told the kids, I said, you know, I'm excited because when you lose a game like this, when you face adversity, we're going to get to find out what kind of character we have. And I said, you know, it's been said that adversity builds character, but the truth is adversity exposes character. And I can't remember who the first person was or any person was who said that, but I was pretty impressed with my quote. I said, yes, adversity exposes character. So I'm excited to come to practice tomorrow and find out what kind of character we have. So I was pretty impressed with myself and pretty pleased that at least hopefully I had not destroyed anybody's confidence completely. And we were wrapping it up, and I asked the guys if anybody had any questions. And this one guy crossed the room, raises his hand. I said, yes, Johnny, what's your question? He said, Coach, what's adversity? I said, Johnny, adversity is when you get your rear end kicked by 35 points and then pour your heart out in the locker room and nobody knows what you're talking about. Then I think I did move into a harassment phase and said, you guys are freshmen in high school and you don't know what the word adversity is. And then I think I also said something like, how about a context clue here? We're coming in after game. We've lost by 35. Anyway, that was a humbling night all the way around. But it was still a bunch of fun. And I see some of those guys around town. They're about 30 years old or so now. And I'm just so grateful that I had the experience of getting to coach those high school kids. And I think maybe that's where humility originates, at least for me, is in the form of just sincere gratitude. Because I think if we're truly grateful, then it's much more difficult to be prideful and arrogant. Jesus said in Luke 14:11, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So there's no suggestion here that we should be pushed around or allow ourselves to be doormats, but maybe we can be humble like a lion. Maybe we can be content in our anava, in the space we're supposed to have. And that includes whatever role we may have in the world of sports and pop culture, and in whatever roles we're called to serve. I'll conclude by saying that it's humbling for me to share my thoughts and this podcast with you. There are some of you who have been great supporters, and that is enough for me. As we conclude, I certainly want to thank Bethany Atkins and Victoria Carmi Evans for helping to carve out the anava for this podcast. Until the next time, this has been Words of Steel. My name is Tom Steele. Be blessed.